Such a world that we're living in, such a time that we're living in, I don't have to remind you. Yet, we need, I'm talking about all of us, we need an anchor. Anchor that's going to anchor us, hold us. But I want to speak to you about something, about an anchor this morning that's a little bit different. And because we need this kind of an anchor as well. Not only the one that's going to hold us, but there is a type of an anchor that's going to help us to go forward. In tragedies that we just have experienced this past Saturday and others that's gone on past weeks, months, past year, whether it is in a national sense or you bring it down to a personal situation, there's a thought in your mind, as well as a nation, can we survive much more? Can we make it any further than what we have made it? Personally, there are times in our lives that we don't know whether that we can go on or not, can sustain our momentum, or maybe even our walk with God. And it becomes sometimes of a strain to do so. Let me share a little history with you this morning before I get into the meat of this message. It was some 510 years after Christopher Columbus had discovered America. And according to the history books and history, we understand that there was a persistent rumor of early discoveries of America by a Welsh prince named Madoc, M-A-D-O-C. And according to this legend, compiled and studied by so many, we find that in our history, George Rogers Clark and Lewis, the Lewis and Clark expedition, when they was mapping out the territory west of the Mississippi, came across, it is said, some of the descendants of Prince Madoc. Prince Madoc had with him, when he landed on the shores of what is now America, some 100 people that was with him. Certain evidence placed this group along the banks of the Ohio River Falls. Later, a good many appeared to have died for one reason or another. And the remnant of this group of people that landed in America over time became known as the Madians. The strange Indian tribe discovered by Lewis and Clark in the winter of 1804 through 1805. And the Madians were also called the Welsh Indians because they spoke traces of the Welsh language. And shortly after Lewis and Clark wintered with these people, most of them had died off because of smallpox epidemic in contact with people that came through that area. If you buy into the legend, if you like, you can do that. I believe it's true. I share with you for one reason, the legend of this Prince Madoc. Because history also tells us that the ship that they came to America on from the Welsh country had hopelessly grounded in Chesapeake Bay. And after trying unsuccessfully to free the vessel from being grounded, the prince tells the crew to kadej on the anchor. And I found this word, kadej, to be an interesting word. To kadej is to move a ship by means of a line attached to an anchor, dropped at the distance and the direction desired. In other words, they would get in the rowboat from the ship and row out a distance, holding on to an anchor in the direction that you wanted to go, and then they would drop that anchor. And as it would settle on the bottom, get a hold of rocks or boulders, then they would begin to pull on the line that was attached to the anchor and begin to pull themselves in the direction that they wanted to go. So kadeging is still known today. Large anchor used, grounded, placed in front of you, attaching a line to it, and pulling yourself in the direction that you want to go. We don't normally think of moving towards an anchor. The anchor represents something that's in the past. If you had a little boat, rowboat, or you had a large ship, you'd drop the anchor, and the current, of course, pulling the boat. The anchor would be in the back, somewhere attached to a rock or in the bottom of the river or the ocean, holding you fast, not allowing you to go forward anymore. Sometimes, however, the anchor is for our future. We move towards whatever that anchor would be. And especially troublesome times, we need to pull ourselves into the future with the anchor, not allowing the past or the anchor that is behind us to hold us down. The past then becomes the only means unto the future. You take what is behind you and you move it to in front of you. Israel knew how to kadej. The patriarch Joseph made sure of it. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 19, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the valley of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they were wont, and they returned to Egypt." One of the problems that you face today in the world of discouragement is, as you go forward in a world that seems like it's a land full of Philistines and problems and difficulties, if you're not careful, You will get discouraged. God said, if I take them through a troubled land, it might be they get so discouraged that they will return back to Egypt. What God was doing was bringing them out of Egypt. What God is doing for your life and my life is bringing it out of the world, not keeping it in the world. It's not God's will or His purpose for us to get so discouraged that we go back to Egypt thinking it's more comfortable there than any place else. I'm here to tell you this morning, on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, there's nothing left out in that world that will ever satisfy you once you've come in contact with God Himself. Once God has spoken to your heart and whispered into it, He will give you the power not only to sustain yourself, but also to pull yourself forward. God says, lest they peradventure the people repent when they were see war and they return to Egypt. Verse 18 of this Exodus 13 says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit us, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. That strange verse of Scripture has something to tell us in this 21st century. That we need to have an anchor that's before us that we can attach to in the direction that we want to move and go in. For me and my house, for the czar of me and my wife, we want to make it to heaven and see Jesus face to face. For myself and my wife, we want to be able to hear, whether it be live or lying in the grave, to hear the sound of the trumpet tells us to wake up. Get ready to be changed from the mortal to immortality and meet my Savior in the air one of these days. Not what anchors me to the past of my sins or my problems, but to cast an anchor in the direction of a resurrection. If I find this word to be true, and it is, that I find that Jesus Christ could not be held in the grave. He came out of that grave triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He was tremendous in the victory over what the devil tried to hold him into. He set a mark. He, God alone, set an anchor towards the future. That anchor is the resurrection and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I introduce you to Joseph this morning, not to the dreaming Joseph of the coat of many colors Joseph, nor the forgotten Joseph who spent 17 to 22 years in the prison. I preach to you of a hopeful Joseph looking forward to a day that would come that he anchored himself in a future. For he said, I'm telling you this. You promise me that when you leave out of Egypt, when you leave out of this world of trouble and woe and sorrow, that you take my bones with you. Why, Joseph, do you want that to happen? Because I know there's going to come a day that God is going to visit us. I'm telling you this morning, my hope is not in this present world, but my anchor is set before me, and I'm attached to it that the resurrection one of these days is going to take place, and we're going to be resurrected out of this world altogether. It seems fitting to talk about Joseph. The Jews believe this to be Joseph's millennium that we're living in right now. according to the Hebrew Talmud, there are six millenniums to world history as the Jews understand it. The first millennium belonged to Abraham. The second millennium belonged to Isaac. The third, fourth, and fifth belonged to Jacob, Moses, Aaron, respectively. But today, we're living in the sixth millennium. And we understand that in the Jewish year, right now that is celebrated in this past September, past September 9th to the 13th, they celebrated their new year. We're living in the year 5,779, according to the Jewish calendar. The last part, according to their calendar, of the sixth millennium. This sixth millennium belongs to Joseph in the Jewish way of thinking. And when the sixth millennium ends, the seventh will draw with the Messiah ruling and reigning. A few years ago, Joseph's tomb was plundered in Shechem. Rioting Palestinians scorched the tomb of Joseph. To the Jews, it is evidence that Messiah is on his way. In the 48th chapter of Genesis, the dying patriarch gives Joseph an extra piece of the promised land by faith, the city of Shechem. In Shechem, Joseph's brothers had sold him into slavery. That was the place Joseph had left Canaan unwillingly. Nearly 500 years after Joseph died, Joseph will be laid with his remains to rest back in Shechem. There was he betrayed. There was he thrown into a pit. There he was betrayed. 500 years later, his bones are at rest at Shechem. Why? Because God has an anchor out there. God has a reason why he's planted that before us. On the eve of the great deliverance, there was Bedlam in Egypt. Passover lamb had been eaten. The Lord had passed through the city. Death was touching the firstborn of the humans as well as it was the animals. Death had been a respecter of that blood that night. Even though God was not a respecter of the firstborn, yet those that was under the blood of the Lamb, God became a respecter. That's why it's so important to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. To have your family baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you can't have the name without the blood. And you can't have the blood without the name. And when I see the blood, God said, I'll pass over you. You wonder why God's been good to you? Because you've been born of water and a spirit. And because the blood of Jesus Christ covers you, there is a respecter of the blood that covers you. Whether the lamb's blood was found, the Lord passed over. Whenever God finds the blood upon people's lives, he passes over them, watches over them, takes care of them, gives them an anchor to hold on to. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Pharaoh summoned Moses. He said, go, travel, get out of here. Turning their backs on 4 centuries, 400 years of manual labor, they left out of Egypt. 600,000 men along with women and children began journeying. That fateful night, a pillar of fire graced the sky, leading them behind them in their ministry. I'm going to tell you what, it's not by coincidence that John said one's going to come and baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Somebody says, what is that fire? We see renditions of paintings and of tongues of fire set up on each of those in the upper room. We don't physically see somebody when they receive the Holy Ghost, the tongues of fire is upon them. But I'm here to tell you, there's things behind the curtain you don't see oftentimes or understand. Why is that fire there? That fire there is to be able to lighten your path and help you understand God. You've got to have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, to lighten your mind, your thoughts, and your concepts about God. While the Israelites made their way through town, they plundered the Egyptians. Moses, however, must have made a stop as well. What was Moses stopping for? He commanded a few young men to make a journey to a special place, to a room, to where the coffin of Joseph was lying. He told those young men, perhaps pick up that coffin. It's not going to stay in Egypt anymore. And I'm sure by the fact that Joseph being second command in Egypt, that when he died, he had a very beautiful, expensive looking coffin. But the reason why Moses said to pick up that box of bones, the bones had to go. Because Joseph set an anchor out there. It was Shechem for him. It's a resurrection for us. In a world that you've been betrayed in a world that you have been cast, it seems like into a pit, into a world that seems like it's full of trouble and sorrow and woe. I want to tell this church, this born-again congregation, that you may be in the world, but you're no longer of the world. God has transferred you from one place to another. Amen. What are you saying, Joseph? Take my bones out of Egypt. This is like us one of these days. You can't hold me down in the grave any longer. You can't hold me down in this world any longer. Because I set an anchor out there, a place where I desire to see my God face to face. And I've got an anchor out there, and I've got something of faith, a rope of faith attached to it. And I'm pulling in the direction of where I want to go, who I want to see one of these days. It may be tough going, and troubles may be all around, but I've got a hold of that rope of faith, and I'm pulling myself closer and closer to the promise. To the promise that God gave me. If I'm true, if I'm faithful, if I am faithful unto Him, and I do not turn back to Egypt, I shall see Him. I shall be caught up in the rapture of the church one of these days. Come on, church. Lest you give up in the war. God said, I don't want to send him through that place of the Palestinians. Lest in fighting the war, they would decide to repent. Joseph remembered the promise of Genesis 48:21. This is the promise. Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Joseph remembered the prophecy. Genesis 50 and verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Joseph gave a commandment. In Hebrews 11 and 22, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith. By faith, every time you get up every morning, by faith, you grab a hold of that hope that you have in Christ. I'm anchored in Jesus. And the voices of this world, and the turmoil of this world, and the evil of this world, I've got my eyes fixed on a hope. I've got a purpose for living every day of my life. The one who died for me at the cross of Calvary. The one who gave me victory when I was living in defeat. The one who brought me out of the sorrows of this life and put joy within my spirit by filling me with his spirit. I'm so thankful for the kingdom of God. And today I'm getting a hold of the rope of faith that's pulling me in the direction where I am anchored. Come on, church. Don't you repent that you gave your life to God. Don't you return back to the world and the sins of this world and the sorrows of this world. Come to the place in our life is that we've got to understand something that's very important to us, is that I've got a goal. The reason why I'm in church today, not simply come just to worship Jesus, but something that I know I've anchored myself in to get another clear vision today, get another hope today, to get myself, you know, sometimes I pull on rope until your hands get just almost just raw.
Come on. Come on, yes.
But I'm so glad there's a balm of Gilead, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come on. You see, bones represent a hope of resurrection. Why did Joseph want his bones in Canaan land instead of Egypt? Because Egypt is the past. He had a royal tomb. He had his wife and his kids. But that wasn't his home. You have a natural home in this world and you have a family. But this world is not your home. Joseph knew the hope of the resurrection. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, speaks of the hope of a resurrection. We don't really know how that Joseph knew that he needed to be in the proximity of others who slept in faith. Maybe he just sensed it. Maybe this was the element of his faith described by the writer in Hebrews. Joseph felt that he needed to go back to the promised land. Joshua laid the remains of Joseph to rest in the north city of Jerusalem. Joseph was buried there for a reason that only later would become evident. When they took his bones out of Egypt and they made it back to the promised land, they buried his bones just a little bit north of the city that we know now as Jerusalem. In Matthew 27, verse 50 and 54, said Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from the twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves, everybody say graves, were opened. Say opened.
Open.
And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And it came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. I can't get my mind around it. I've got to get back to where I needed to be because something's going to happen. Get me out of Egypt. Somebody says, get me out of this world. Get me out of the Egypt because I got a feeling something's about to happen. It's going to be wonderful, glorious. Just north of Jerusalem. And there came an earthquake like there never had been an earthquake. Somebody on a little hill by the name of Jesus of Nazareth just cried out, it is finished. One of these days, in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, God's going to say, all right, all right, go back and get your bride. Go back and get your bride. In the moment and hour that we think not, that eastern sky is going to part. Something's going to happen. Come on, get out of Egypt. Come on, get out of that world. Come on, you know you're anchored in the hope.
You're anchored.
You know why you're blessed of the Lord? Because you put the anchor out in front of you and you've grabbed a hold of that rope of faith heading toward the direction that you want to have. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's stand. Come on. Let's be respectful to the moving of the Holy Ghost here right now this morning. Some of you need to transfer your anchor from behind you to in front of you. He said, Pastor, I can't pick it up. The anchor's too heavy. I can't pick it up. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Pick it up. And go out in front of you with your hope. And place it out there in the direction that you want to go. I want to go to heaven. I may want to go to heaven. You need to put your anchor out there. You need to condense toward heaven. It may take you a while. As I said, it took Joseph 500 years to get to where he put his anchor, but he got there. And not only did he get there, I think he was part of that group that when Jesus Christ said it's finished and the earthquake took place and the graves had opened up. Why would God do it? As a witness of the hope that people had placed into their God. In the hope of their God. Anybody got a hope in your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning? Just take it out a little further and drop it. Tie some faith to it. Just keep, come on. And you'll get to the promise. And one day, it could be on a cloudy day, or it could be on a beautiful sunshiny day. And the Father will say to the Son, Son, the house is finished. The rooms that you've added on to the mansion is all done. Go get your bride. Go get your bride. And that bride who has held on to the Kadesh of the promise. who's held on to the anchor and the hope they have in Christ Jesus will arrive at their destination. Don't ever repent of giving your life to Jesus Christ and return back to Egypt. Don't return back to the world. But anchor your soul in Jesus Christ. Just lift your hands one more time. Come on, just lift them one more time. Come on. This whole congregation, come on. Come on. In fact, let's just kind of gather around and help one another with our anchors. This altar is open. Come on, let's come on, church, as the body. Let's come and let's help one another with our anchors. Would you help me get my anchor out in front? Come on, church, come on. Let's help one another. Let's help one another to get our anchors out in front and tie some hope to it. Don't be say anchored to your past. Come on, anchor toward the future. Come on, anchor towards the future. Come on, let's help one another. Pray for one another. Love one another. Lift up one another. Come on, body of Christ.